So my presentation is on the effect of algae biomass on the mineralization of carbon in freshwater sediment. So the rationale for this, the experiment I'm going to describe and discuss here in this presentation, comes from a series of papers published in the last few years, and that essentially argued that eroded material, when erosion takes place, moving material from the upland, and if this material is entrapped in freshwater, in sediment, in reservoirs and lakes, because of low oxygen at the bottom of the water column, so this carbon can stay there for a long period of time, thereby can be considered as sequestered. There have been some figures put out to estimate how much that represents. A paper by Stoller in 1998 estimated close up to 1.5 petagram of carbon can be sequestered by this mechanism per year. A paper published just 1 month ago put this figure a bit lower. But whatever the case, that's quite an important sink of carbon on a global scale. Starting in 2005, I started doing some studies looking at freshwater reservoirs in the upper Midwest. That is in central Indiana. And here we have a reservoir that was Eagle Creek Reservoir, set in operation in 1967. And in 2003, coring was done to look at the material accumulated in that reservoir in the last 36 years. And then you can see that is the line in 67, and that's all the material deposited in 36 years. And then when we measure the total amount of carbon accumulated here, so that gives us something like 120 tons of carbon per hectare accumulated in 36 years. So a huge sequestration rate, about 3.3 tons per hectare per year. The first speaker speak about 1.8 in marsh area, so that's almost twice. So that's really a big number. So the thing is, when we look at this reservoir, it's located at the outlet of an ag-dominated watershed, and this reservoir is receiving a lot of runoff, a lot of nutrients. And because of the nutrients, we have, during the last few years, we have a series of episodes of algal blooms, and so we like to see, and this algae, during the blooms, the algae can produce a lot of carbon. There are some reports about 1.5 or so gram of carbon per square meter per day can be deposited by algae. So that leads us to some questions. What are the sources of the carbon we see deposited in the reservoir? Could that be primarily aquatic or terrestrial? We don't have a final answer to that, but we are going to show you some data that can provide you some hint as to probably not the total carbon, but at least the labor fraction of the carbon in the reservoir. And also because we have the algae being deposited on a regular basis, we like to see when the fresh algae is deposited in the sediment, how does that affect the dynamics of the old carbon already present there? To go to the first question about the sources, look at the, we did some work in some freshwater reservoirs in central Indiana, looking at some area we know the algae was abundant and they had to do some treatment to take care of it, and some areas less impacted. You can see the total carbon in the algae impacted is about 1.5 higher than in the less impacted. But the things you have to pay more attention is the CN ratio. Low CN ratio in the algae impacted and slightly higher in the less impacted, as well as the hydrogen carbon ratio in the less impacted, that is signaling is a little bit more aromatic than the algae impacted. We collected sediments from the reservoir and did a long-term incubation that's lasting 1 year, and look at the CO2 produced from during the incubation. And also, at 3 times during that incubation, we took the CO2 and measured the C13 in the CO2 produced. And as you can see, at the beginning of the experiment, of the incubation, the C13 of the CO2 is about minus 33, 34. and it's become less negative and less negative as things progressed. I went to the literature and find some cetacean signature of eroded carbon coming in runoff, and that's from studies from sites in Illinois and India, in Indiana and Ohio, we find the cetacean in the eroded material is about here. And then we get algae from the reservoir, it's right here. So clearly, the carbon that is decomposed has a strong algal signature. So at least the labile form of the carbon, I don't know for the total carbon yet, but the most labile fraction is algal associated with the algae. So we go now to the second question. When you have algae being deposited at the bottom of the reservoir, what's happened to the dynamics of carbon? So you can look at two different mechanisms. One, because the algae is supposedly fresh and probably more labile, you can make the case that will be preferentially degraded, and thereby the carbon that is already there will be protected. Or if you flip this argument around, because the algae is being degraded, that will fuel the microbial activity, and thereby the enzyme produced by the microbes will be able to degrade the existing carbon pool. So the second mechanism will be akin to the priming effect. Priming effect is defined as either an acceleration or a deceleration of the mineralization of carbon already present by a small amount of fresh material. So the way you can look at it, you have the fresh material, and then the microbes will act upon it, simulating microbial activity that will degrade the material already present. But also, you can get also degradation of the material you add. So the way you look at this, it will, at the end of the day, you get CO2 produced. So to be able to do a source attribution, you need to add some cetacean with the fresh material, and then you'll be able to account for what is coming from this side and from the other side. That's the nature of the experiment we run. We have some sediments, we add some cetacean labeled algae, either wholesale algae or some cellulose extracted from algae. All this material was highly enriched in cetacean, and we add about 6 milligrams of dry matter per gram of sediment, and that's about the relative composition of all these different materials we add. And did an incubation for 25 days, and at day 5, 12 and 25, we measured the concentration of CO2, the biomass by chloroform fumigation extraction, and microbial diversity to calculate the index diversity index. So in this graph, we have I don't know if that shows really well. So here the blue line is the sediment, nothing added to it. That's the production of CO2. And now the green one, the green here, is the sediment, the total CO2 produced in the sediment with the new carbon added. And then because of the cetacean with the fresh material, we can calculate what is exactly coming from the fresh material. So when you add what is coming from the fresh material to what is from the control, it should be equal to the total production. Whenever we have a difference between those two, we have a priming. If the total production is higher than the sum, it's a positive priming. If it's less, this is a negative priming. So you will see here in this side, this is with the whole algae, this is with the cellulose. With the whole algae, after 5 days, we have a negative priming. So not only it's about 12 days, we start getting more like in the positive territory. And at the end of the incubation, we have about 560 milligram of CO2 in excess. So the algae, the addition of algae is simulating the mineralization of the carbon already present after 25 days. But at the beginning, that was not the case. With the cellulose, we have a higher priming effect, but we never had a case of negative priming effect. When we put that together, After 25 days, about 9% of the whole algae carbon was degraded, and about 14% for the algae cellulose. When we look at the microbial biomass, addition of algae, this is the control, and at day 5, 12, and 25, you see there is a quick increase in the microbial biomass, but this was short-lived, and the total microbial biomass dropped pretty quickly. Now, when you look at the microbial diversity, we start with high diversity, but whenever we add either algae or cellulose, we have a decrease in the diversity. So it's probably now, when you add this fresh material, that the microbes that are capable of have the fast-growing microbes can be able are able to use this material and be able to display some other groups. So you get less diverse microbial population. There have been some arguments that if the material is more diverse, more chemically diverse, you should have a higher diversity. We didn't see it in that case because the algae should have a significantly higher diversity than the cellulose, which is more simply organic. In fact, when we try to regress priming effect and diversity, we find those two things tend to be negatively related. So in summary, the addition of the algae resulted in if you get fresh algae, so you have a short-term increase in the microbial biomass, a decrease in diversity. And also with fresh algae, in the first week of the incubation, we had a retardation in negative priming. So I think really there is now when I try to think of this, with the fresh algae, we have a negative priming. But yet, when we did the incubation with the sediment extracted from the reservoir, the algae associated carbon we were able to get a mineralization of this carbon. It looks like there is a difference between fresh algae and aged algae biomass. It looks like the fresh algae may contain some algae species, tend to contain some phenolic compounds, and those phenolics can be inhibitory in some processes. So I think as the algae age in the reservoir, so we might be losing some of these inhibitory substances. So as I said, about 9% of the added algal carbon was mineralized in 25 days. So that's a kind of a slow rate of decomposition when you consider that as a coupled up with the total algae biomass can be added on a every year to the reservoir. That will explain the accumulation of algae-associated carbon in the reservoir. So again, I acknowledge my funding sources and people working around the world. Thank you.
Are there any questions for her?
No, sorry, go ahead.
I was just wondering if you can tie your conclusion back to your introduction. You're talking about the amount of carbon that's accumulated in lake sediments. The old lake sediment and also is getting a lot of algae put from blooms. Can you guess as to what that does to carbon?
Or the algal blooms. So that's one of the things I don't have yet, is to do some estimate. We have some estimate of the, for example, chlorophyll from the reservoir. So we have a sense of the temporal variation of primary production in the reservoir. But I plan to have some device installed in the reservoir to be able to capture, to get an estimate of the biomass deposited, to get a total mass. And also do some separation using lignin and some other biomarkers to be able to get a sense of what is the total of carbon associated with the algae and also the total associated with from terrestrial sources. So that probably the direction things are.
I think on the 25-day incubation,
Yeah, that's probably the case. I think that's probably the case. But I don't have the total input in terms of total mass of algae deposited on a yearly basis. So that's where I'm heading. Yeah.
I have a question, something I missed. Your incubations, were they aerobic or anaerobic?
So the data I show here, incubation was at 8 milligram per liter of oxygen, O2. I have the similar experiment. I show you half of the experiment. I also run half of the experiment with a 2 milligram of oxygen per liter. That is more like the average dissolved oxygen at the bottom of the reservoir. So the rates are different, much lower, but the pattern you see exactly the same.
The sediment is probably going to be anoxic or below that.
Yes, yes. No, the rates are different, much lower, but the patterns, the negative priming with the fresh algae is exactly the same.
Thank you.